First Timothy chapter number 3. Some folks think you ought not laugh in church. Well, you just wait till we get to heaven, son. We're going to be happy, happy, happy over there. I guarantee you. First Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16. A lot of good 316s in the Bible. A lot of good 316s. John 3:16 is a good one. Luke 3:16 is good. All through the Bible. One of these days, I'd like to take time and preach all the different services, all the 3:16s in about wonderful, wonderful portions of Scripture. But here's one, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Now I want you to notice something about this particular verse of Scripture. One of my favorite portions of Scripture, I have several messages that I preach out of this particular portions of Scripture, but here's what I want to show you. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. And then it starts at His birth. Jesus Christ, at His birth, God was manifest in the flesh. That was His birth. And then justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles. If you haven't said amen in about 3 months, that would be a wonderful place to say amen, that Jesus preached unto the Gentiles. Believed on in the world. Aren't you glad you believed on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ one day and got saved? And then at the end of His ministry, He was received up into glory. From the birth all the way to the ascension, we have the life of Jesus, the earthly life of Jesus Christ. Well, in April 1863, in Columbus, Mississippi, after decorating the graves of her two sons that had died, representing the beloved Southland. Somebody say amen. An elderly woman walked to 2 mounds of dirt. After she decorated her two sons' grave, she walked over to 2 mounds of dirt over in the corner of a cemetery. And they looked at her and they said, "Hey, what are you doing?" And those graves are 2 Union soldiers. And that mother said, "I know. And I also know that somewhere up north, there is a mama that is mourning over her 2 sons like I am mourning over my sons here." That started Memorial Day. That particular act of kindness started what we know as Memorial Day, and it worked its way into the last Monday of May. And I believe, ladies and gentlemen, we celebrate this Memorial Day. We honor those that have died in the armed services. We do that one time a year, but their sacrifice is evident every single day of the year. Today we honor the memory of all of those that have sacrificed their lives on the altar of freedom. Thousands, thousands upon thousands of people, lives were given, but my friend, not in vain. Because they sacrificed, we have the freedom to walk into a building like this. We have the freedom, as of yet, we have the freedom to tote a Bible under our arm. A lot of countries all around the world, they have to go in hiding to have church, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the opportunity to come, and a lot of people use this day to spend time with family, and that's what it's all about, and that's wonderful to have cookouts. But never forget those that made that possible is the men and women that gave their lives to preserve the freedoms that we enjoy today. I don't want to dismiss the sacrifice and the service that those men and women who served our nation so faithfully, I don't want to dismiss that at all. But what I want to talk to you today about is a great soldier that stepped out of a place called heaven and came to this harsh battlefield one day. He took up arms and entered the fight knowing that it would cost him everything. This soldier bravely entered the battlefield and won the great victory, but at a terrible price. The great soldier gave his life not for a nation, but for the whole world. The whole world, he gave his life. For the child of God, for those of us that are saved, every day ought to be Memorial Day. We need to remember the sacrifice of heaven's greatest soldier. Heaven's greatest soldier that ever walked in shoe leather is the Lord Jesus Christ. Every day ought to be Memorial Day. Here's what I want to point out to you. Three things, and I'm through, but it's three long things. May we always remember His appearing. Notice how He showed up. Here in 1 Timothy 3:16, it says He showed up as God manifest in the flesh. I got news for you, ladies and gentlemen. He just didn't start out in Bethlehem. He didn't start out in Bethlehem's manger on Christmas Day on December the 25th. Jesus has always been. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Verse 14 says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The greatest soldier showed up in Bethlehem's manger, and the only way that He could come to this place was to robe Himself in flesh. Because we would, if he'd have showed up today in His full glory, we'd all be dead. So He had to robe flesh. He had to stretch flesh over His glory. And He was born of that virgin and came, the very Creator of this world. Ladies and gentlemen, Mary had that baby, and the one that created her, hallelujah. Creator of this world stepped out on nothing and became and made something. Jesus laid aside His heavenly address. We notice that every soldier, when they get drafted, I think every kid would turn 18 or to get drafted. Hallelujah. For about 3 years, and when they come home, their pants will be pulled up. They'll say, yes, sir, no, sir, please, and thank you. Pass the peas, please. Hallelujah. Won't be in this sagging and all this old drooping down. Yes, hallelujah. That'll solve a lot of problems. That wasn't a part of the message, but anyway. He laid aside His heavenly address. I notice that the soldiers, when they get drafted, they leave their abode. They leave their home. They take on a new address. They go to a different place. And they take on a new address wherever they're going to be serving. Jesus Christ left His home in heaven, a land of perfection, free from sin, free from pain, free from suffering, free from sorrow, and yet He was willing to leave it all, change His address for 33 and a half years, and come to this world full of pain, full of sorrow, full of death, because He wanted to do battle with the devil so He could save you and me. John 1:11 says He came into His own, and His own received Him not. He laid aside His heavenly address, but watch this. Not only did He lay aside His heavenly address, but He laid aside His heavenly apparel. When He left heaven, my friend, He left what was known as His heavenly garments. And Philippians chapter 2 puts it this way: let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Himself the form of a servant. He left His heavenly apparel. apparel. He left his heavenly address to come to this place to do battle, to suit up as a soldier and fight the greatest battle and defeat the devil at the cross of Calvary, just so you and I could go to heaven. Aren't you glad, ladies and gentlemen, for the greatest Memorial Day when we remember the Savior, the greatest soldier that ever walked in shoe leather? He laid aside his heavenly apparel. He knew no pain, but he became this place, or came down to this place, so he could experience pain. He experienced suffering, rejection, hunger, thirst, loneliness, and any other problem that you can think of. He experienced it just for you and just for me. We noticed his appearing, how he got here. God manifest in the flesh. But number two, we need to always remember his accomplishments. Any soldier, when they serve, they get an accomplishment. They get the Purple Heart, or they'll do this, and they honor them because of their accomplishments. They salute those soldiers, and they have a special dedication service or a medal service, and they bring those soldiers in, and they hang that medal upon them, saying that they have accomplished this particular deed or fought in this particular battle or this, that, and the other. My friend, Jesus Christ accomplished a whole lot when he came to this world. He showed up as a baby, but my friend, he grew and he waxed strong in spirit, full of grace, and the Holy Ghost was up on him. He accomplished great service. Now, I want you to notice, if you're in 1 Timothy there, God manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit. That means he had the approval of Almighty God. When he left heaven, he laid aside his apparel. He laid aside his address. And when he walked out of heaven, getting ready to go down to the womb as the seed of the Word of God into the womb of Mary, God the Father saluted his Son, and he said, "You go and fight and defeat the devil." And Jesus left that place willingly and came to this world. He was a very accomplished soldier. I'll tell you how accomplished he was when he was baptized by John the Baptist. Hallelujah. Wasn't John the Methodist. It wasn't John the Presbyterian. It was John the Baptist. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Some of you used to hearing that. Hallelujah. Anyway, John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And Jesus stepped down in that muddy river Jordan. And when he stepped down in that muddy river Jordan, John had been baptizing people all day long. And the fishes and the tadpoles and the turtles and all of that said, "Hey, somebody done stepped in the water that we know a little bit about. This man that done stepped in the water, there's been a bunch of people stepping in the water all day long, and we didn't pay no attention to them. But when this man stepped in the water, something changed around here." And the fishes and the catfish and the tadpoles and everything said, "That man, that's him right there." John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." He stepped down in that water, and I'll tell you, they had a medal service right then and there. You say, "How do you know?" It's because God the Father said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And they hung a medal. God the Father hung a medal on Jesus Christ, all his accomplishments. My friend, he walked out of that place and he began to heal. Turned the water into wine. First miracle he ever done. Turned the water into wine. You say, "Preacher, God don't like all that fooling around and all that funning." And I'll tell you this, his first miracle, the party was fixing to get shut down because they ran out of wine. And Jesus used his first miracle just to keep the party going. Hallelujah. Well, that went over pretty good. And for those of you that think it was the alcohol, you need to read your Bible and quit reading it upside down. Turned it into grape juice. That's what they call wine. It's grape juice into the cup, and they used it, and it was wine. That's what they call wine. Hallelujah. Well, we ain't on that today, but we ought to be. Remember his appearing. Remember his accomplishments. Justified in the spirit. Jesus said this, I do always those things which please my Father. Those angels said it, justified in the spirit, seen of angels. I preach a message about seen of angels, but I can tell you this, that ain't in the Bible for just to take up space. That's in the Bible for a reason, because in Luke chapter number 2, how the angel said, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Yes, they saluted the greatest soldier. God Almighty saluted the greatest soldier. Those angels saluted the greatest soldier. I can see the Lord. I don't have time to go through all the what he did, but I can imagine at the tomb of Lazarus. He said, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, come up out of that ground. And ladies and gentlemen, God stood over the banister of heaven and said, that's my beloved son. Yeah. Oh yes, that's my beloved soldier. That's my soldier right there that left the splendor of heaven to come down to this place. I remember in Matthew chapter number 17, Jesus took Peter, James, and John over the Mount of Transfiguration, and Moses and Elijah showed up with him on the Mount of Transfiguration as a picture and a type of the tribulation period just before the second coming. Those two witnesses will show up, Moses and Elijah. No matter what you read in the book, no matter what Dr. Bottlestopper told you down at Pollock Institute, I'm telling you, Moses and Elijah appeared to him a picture and type of the second coming, and Moses and Elijah pictured him. And God said it again, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. All his accomplishments, his appearing, his accomplishments, oh, wasn't they great? He who knew no sin became sin for us. Why? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. His accomplishments. Service, perfect, perfect sacrifice, perfect salvation, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels. He died on the cross so you could have life. You might have it more abundantly. He endured the cross, despised the shame, shed his own blood to redeem you from your sin and make it possible you could have be saved from death and be passed from death unto life. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'll tell you this before I move to the last point. I can tell you this. Hanging upon that cross right there. A cross just like that. Over 2,000 something years ago, Jesus hung upon that cross. The greatest soldier that ever walked in shoe leather. You say, preacher, what was he doing? He was doing battle with the devil. It started in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he began to sweat, as it were, great drops of blood and agony and the sins of the whole world. The weight was up on his shoulders. He walked up to that cross, and they nailed his hands and his feet, and he nailed him to that cross, and blood began to come from his body, and they stabbed him in the side. And ladies and gentlemen, God said, I can't look upon sin, and he turned himself around, and the sun refused to shine from 12 in the afternoon till 3 in the afternoon. From 12 noon to 3 in the afternoon, the sun refused to shine. And Jesus Christ on the cross said, it is finished. What is finished? Oh, my friend, doing battle with the devil. Doing battle with the devil. And ladies and gentlemen, when he arose on that third and appointed day, that's Jesus, or it's God Almighty, adorning him with another medal and saying, hallelujah, son. Up from the grave he arose, triumphant for his foes. He arose the victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, and God the Father says, thank God he arose. Justified in the Spirit. My friend, that's where God the Father said, yes, confirming This is my beloved son. This is the greatest soldier that's ever walked on this planet Earth. I want you to remember his service, his sacrifice, his perfect salvation. His perfect salvation. You see what it says in 1 Timothy 3:16? Preached unto the Gentiles. Well, I don't know if that's even settled in on you or not. But when he came to this world, it was very heavily Jewish. He was trying to get him a Jewish following so he could take over the kingdom and overthrow Caesar and all of that kind of thing. And the Jews crucified him, said, "We don't have any king but Caesar. We don't want any king but Caesar." Hallelujah. Crucify him. Give us Barabbas. Crucify Jesus. Jesus said, "All right, that's fine with me. I know a people that will accept me. I know somebody that will accept me. If you don't want to, but to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." The door swung wide open. In the Old Testament, some of you ain't got this yet, but in the Old Testament, just anybody couldn't go in behind the veil. It was closed. To just one person, that was the high priest. One time a year he'd go in there. One time a year, it's closed off. You just couldn't walk in there anytime you got ready. But all when Jesus died, the veil in the temple was rent from top to bottom. What was Jesus saying? Jesus said, "Hey, Jews didn't want me. They crucified me. We fixing to lay the veil open so you can come on in when you get ready. We don't need a robe wearing priest today. We got Jesus Christ Almighty shed his blood so you and I could walk into the throne room of heaven anytime you get good and ready." Amen. Hallelujah. That was some amazing accomplishments. Amazing to come. Preached unto the Gentiles. Believed on in the world. Salvation is powerful. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, unto the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And without faith, it is impossible to believe, please God. Notice his appearing, his accomplishments. I got one more. No amens, please. We need to remember his ascension. That's how the thing ended. He says he was received up into glory. Can you imagine these mamas and daddies? More so mamas. I know dads miss their boys and girls, but I'm talking about mamas. When that soldier comes back to the house from fighting over there in Iraq and Afghanistan, and we should have done... sent a bomb over there and made a parking lot out of them places. You don't have so much trouble with them if you just do what you need to do. It's called irregima. What it's called. We ain't had no trouble out of them folks since we went over there and took me. We're on the internet, ain't we? Hallelujah. Go over there playing around with people. Don't play with them. Mean business. Hallelujah. Where was I? Oh, soldier coming home. That mama's looking out the window. That's my son coming home. That's my daughter coming home from the service. Boy, what a reception. Can you imagine on this particular day in Acts chapter number 1? Behold, two men stood in white apparel, said, "Why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus will come so in like manner just as you have seen him go." He walks back up into heaven carrying the blood up on the mercy seat. And can you imagine them angels standing at attention? One of the greatest soldier that ever left heaven coming back home. And the Father sitting on the throne. No doubt. I don't know. This ain't in the Bible. Y'all just give me a little leeway. It's what you call in the white part. In between the verses. The Father on his throne. His son walks back in. His daddy gets up and says, "Thank you, son. Thank you for redeeming mankind. It couldn't have been done without the greatest soldier to ever live." His daddy saluted him when he walked back into heaven, just like any mama would be glad. But let me say this. Sometimes them soldiers come home with battle scars. They lived. They lived through it. But son, they got the battle scars to prove it. Some of you, Brother Jerry still has trouble. Some of you, all that served, no doubt, if you was in harm's way, some have different types of things they have to deal with because they were there. They brought home a lot more with them than they left with. Sometimes they lose limbs. So we could sit here today. Don't take it for granted. But let me tell you this. When Jesus Christ walked into heaven, he had the battle scars to prove it. He walks back into heaven the greatest soldier. Yes, he was 100% God. You say, prove it. I can prove it real good. He appeared to Thomas and to all of the 11 up in the upper room after the resurrection. And he says, look. See? Here are my feet. Here's my side. Thomas, why don't you believe? You can touch. You look. They're there. My friend, the only man-made thing in heaven is the scars that are in the hands of the Savior. Yes, he went back to heaven. Yes, he ascended. But he has the battle scars to prove it. Why? Because he loves you. Say, you walk into heaven. Say, I wonder if God loved me. He'll just do like this. Yeah. And in a tear go down your face and say, oh yes, thank you, thank you, thank you. It won't be none of this. Son, you get to heaven, it won't be. Oh no. Son, every one of you will be Pentecostal. You get up in heaven, hallelujah. I mean, you'll be shouting. You didn't even think you could shout. You get into heaven, and you might just see some people you didn't think was going. There might be some people up there that you wasn't expecting to be there. They were saved by God's grace. Somebody said, you one of them Baptists think they're the only ones going? I don't even think half of them are going. We got an advocate with the Father. Let me say this. Over a million, I think 1.1 million men and women have died to guarantee our freedom as Americans. They gave their all so we might enjoy the blessings of this great land. And today, Memorial Day, we honor them and we say thank you for their sacrifice. But those of us that are saved, bought by the blood, we need to remember the greatest soldier. Not diminishing any of the soldiers that are in this room or any soldiers ever. But I'm talking about not diminishing them. I'm saying we ought to remember our greatest soldier as well. Every day of our life, one day heaven's greatest soldier came to this world. Jesus said, endure hardness as a good soldier. Be a good soldier. They tell me, I don't know, I've never served. Almost came real close, and I never served, and I should have, and wanted to. But they tell me, when a man's down, they tell me, y'all correct me now, you don't leave nobody behind. You don't leave nobody behind. Well, Jesus was received up into glory. And I say this morning, he don't want to leave nobody behind. He don't want to leave you behind. He can't make you go. But so many as received him, them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name. I think of the old song, I dare even try it. I don't even know it that well. But I'd like to leave this place. I don't know, I'm 40 years old. I used to. That was old. It's not as old anymore. I want to die on the battlefield, serving the Lord. One day while I was thinking on unseen things above, the Savior spoke unto me and filled my heart with love. I used to have some people who walked and talked with me, but since I've been converted, they turn their backs on me. Some say, give me silver. Some say, give me gold. I say, give me Jesus, who saved me dying soul. Oh, I'm gonna die on this battlefield. I'm gonna die in this war. I'm gonna die on the battlefield with glory in my soul. I'll take this gospel trumpet and I'll begin to blow. Oh Lord, if you will help me, I'll blow it wherever I go. Oh, I'm gonna die on this battlefield. I'm gonna die in this war. I'm gonna die on this battlefield with glory in my soul. Listen, folks, listen. Listen. Jesus is looking for some soldiers. Some men and some women. Some boys and some girls that'll follow Him and endure hardness as a good soldier. Say, preacher, I'm not saved. I'm not saved. Jesus don't want to leave anybody behind. Mark, you come on, play the piano. Blake, whatever y'all pick out, won't you stand to your feet? Folks, I've done everything I know to do. I preach what the Lord told me to do. I think the Lord is impressing on us. We need some soldiers, some men and women. It'll stand up, say, I want to die on this battlefield. I don't want to die out there in the world, giving up on the Lord. I know things might be bad at home. I want to die on the battlefield, serving the Lord with glory in my soul. Mark, you begin to play. Who'll gather down here at the altar and say, hey, that's what we want. That's what we want. We want to die on the battlefield.